Strap on your tool belts and grab a cup of coffee. It's time for My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa.
Lifers, My Fix It Up Lifers, DIYers, designers, his, hers, lovers, welcome to our show. We're talking about the DIY of OCR and health and fitness and how that all kind of ties into being able to do DIY, being able to do design, being able to live life. It's the life in my Fix It Up Life. And we're talking today about all that stuff. I know I post on Facebook and we tweet and all that stuff that one of my passions is Spartan race, running up mountains, throwing spears. I love that stuff, but it's not about what the race is. It's about being in the race. It's about trying to find a better life. And we're talking with some really cool people about some really cool stuff. Norm Cook, he is the race director for Spartan Race. The guy is so loved and reviled all at the same time. He has his own hashtag. He's got patches and hats, F Norm, because his courses are brutal. And we're also talking with HGTV's fittest man, maybe? I don't know. I might have just made that up. John Culinary, America's Most Desperate Kitchens. Him and his cousin Anthony are building stuff all over the country. Lifers, stay with us. This one's for you. We love you. Sanding walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet-dry vac and go. No drywall dust on your furniture. No tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com. Lifers, we're here, we're in it, we're doing it. We're in it to win it. We're talking about the DIY of OCR, of obstacle course racing. And we are joined by John Culinary, America's Most Desperate Kitchens on HGTV. Also, fitness whack job, fitness nut. He has his own YouTube channel that you can subscribe to. I don't recommend it. You feel bad about yourself. I'm kidding. John, how are you? You're also a fellow Spartan Race alumnus.
Yes, sir.
Right on. You ran the New York race.
I did. I saw you there, man. You got the GoPro strapped to your chest just like I was doing the same thing. All fun stuff.
That was good. So was that your first race like
that? That was my first race. I've been wanting to do it for a while now. And you know, I finally said, look, with all the training I do, it's time to get involved and time to do it.
Okay, so first of all, I was tweeting with you guys, I think on the first episode of this season of America's Most Desperate Kitchens, and somebody was giving you heat, and it may have been your cousin, for your hair.
That's every episode, because I always got to make sure, even if we're doing demo, we're putting the suits on, we're putting on the suits to do some of our lead, right? We're taking all the lead out of it. And perfect. Mine comes off. The hair is intact.
Oh, so you've got it shellacked.
Shellack is an understatement.
It's nice. you can run your fingers through it, but it's nice. It feels good. It's good hair.
It feels good. You know, as it turns out that we don't have smell-o-vision here on the internet yet. It's coming. I forget why. I think the family that you rescued, that guy had nice hair, as I recall. There was a back and forth on that. I'm confident that's
it wasn't a back and forth. John was just jealous.
I was. I'm like, wow, this guy's got good hair.
So if someone who wants to be on America's Most Desperate Kitchens just demos their kitchen, fills it up with mold and garbage and animals and stuff, but shows up and has some tight hair, chances
are good. You're in. Boom. Automatically on the show.
I will be emailing you the contractual documents for that shortly.
As you can see, we're very strict guidelines. So having good hair is a very strict guy that's in there.
Look, you don't hear me saying it's not important.
There you go.
You?
I know. I see.
I mean, sometimes when the wind picks up, John, it just flows. It flows
like,
all around
me. Wow, man, this is nice.
Okay. All right. Then get serious. Get serious. The DIY of OCR. So yes. We America's Most Desperate Kitchens. You guys keep crazy hours, and fitness plays a part in that. You talk about that on your YouTube channel. It's a lifestyle choice. You decide, hey, you know what? I could choose to live this way. I could choose to live that way. Here's the way I'm going to choose. And you've decided to share that.
Look, I look at it this way. Anthony and I, we are on the road. When we're shooting America's Most Desperate Kitchens, it's nonstop. So you're traveling 5 months. You're doing airplanes. You're doing hotels. You're running on the job sites. And we do these builds in 4 days. So 4 days of doing, it's not only the kitchen, we do pretty much the whole entire first floor. You have to have the energy. If you don't have the energy, if you don't have the willpower to do this, you're going to burn yourself out. Then when I go home on the weeks that I have off, I'm with my wife and I'm with my 8-month-year-old daughter. So I have to have the energy to keep that up and going. Yeah. So that's why I've concentrated so much on my health, on my fitness, because it gets me through all this.
Now, is fitness for you as a grown man, is it something that's been part of your life at this kind of level, like since high school? Or is it something that's, you know, played football or whatever in high school and then it went away and then it came
back? I started in high school. I played football and baseball. I was very into those sports. When I got into college, I played baseball for a little bit, but I found out that it wasn't my gig anymore. I was kind of done with it, but I always worked out. I have not stopped working out since I've been 16 years old, so I'm now 34. Now, my workout has changed quite significantly. Like, I went from heavy weights when I was in high school and college, even after college, to now getting into these CrossFit-type workouts where it's totally different. It's really brought a shock to my body. And I have to say, now at 34, I'm in the best shape of my life. Better than even when I was 16 or 17 years old.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So for people who don't know, which may or may not include me,
what is
CrossFit to you? What does that mean? People talk about it all the time, right? But I don't think half the people know what actually it is.
Well, I think CrossFit means a lot of different things to a lot of people. It's because they see it on TV and they see the commercials and whatnot. To me, CrossFit is a dynamic workout. It's constantly changing. You're always shocking your body. You're always doing different things. You're not getting into, the worst word you ever want to hear is routine. Routine in working out is, in all honesty, that's the devil. That's where you stay away from. You say, I'm not going near that, because that's what ruins you. And why I love doing CrossFit, and I do CrossFit with other things. I do CrossFit with doing my own workouts outside, with biking, with doing these swim workouts when I'm home also with my daughter. I like doing different things that maximize my body and push it to its fullest extent. And that's what CrossFit means.
Cool. So it's so it's not leg day, shoulder day, diet day, cheat day.
I used to do that. I used to lift. That's how I used to lift. I used to lift. All right, Mondays I'm doing chest, Tuesdays I'm doing shoulders, Wednesdays I'm doing arms, Thursdays I'm doing legs. Now you have these dynamic workouts where it's all about core. And that's where, and Mark, you know, doing the races, doing the Spartan races, everything comes from your core. And if you don't have that core strength, I don't care how much weight you can put up, you can be the biggest guy in the room, you're not going to be able to get through an intense, high-intensity workout.
Sweet. And that is, so I, to me, there exercises, I'm kind of like you. It's always been part of something that I've done. You know, I ran track and field in high school. I did play rugby in college. It was always, and if I didn't do the exercise, there were other things I couldn't do. And I find that, and you touched on this earlier, it even helps you when you're home. When you're home and it's baby time, it's dad time, you got to be conscious. You got to be alert. You kind of, does it like temper you out, help you sleep better, those kinds of things?
It helps with my sleep. It helps with all my stress. It helps me live the life that I want to live. I don't want to be, and look, it's funny because what do we see in the news all day? Dad bods, right? that everyone's talking with the dad bod, and like it's like the biggest thing, it's like the hottest topic. But when you look at it, you look at the dads that are run down. They're run down because they're not taking care of themselves. Look, we're all busy. We have our work. We have our wives. We have our girlfriend. We have our kids. We have family members. You have all these things going on. And for me, if I want to stay active and do as much as I can, it's about taking care of myself first so I can do those things.
So the main question is, how does it help the hair?
And look at it. Perfect.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, and I did that for the laugh, and I hope I've succeeded and got everybody a little off balance. Since I started training for Spartan Race like a year and a half ago, I swear to God I've grown more hair.
It helps with your stress level, and I truly believe that, because when I get to go to the gym, I get to relieve stress, but at the same time, I'm taking care of myself. And I think we all have those. You can't. There's no person in this country that doesn't have stress, because we all have it and we all go through it. But how do you deal with it? Some people go out and get drunk and drink and or eat. You know, I like to work out. I like to take care of myself. So I think that's it's finding all of those balances.
Right, and I think Anthony Carino, your cousin and partner in crime, who is behind you and working. I think those are ho-hos on his desk.
Yo, ho-ho, think... the next time I see you, bro.
I don't even know what a ho-ho is.
I don't even know what a ho-ho is.
No, I'll tell you what, Mark. John, I've taken way too long a break from working out because I haven't been able to find really the right routine to get back into it, although I know routine is the antichrist. I recently got started back at kickboxing, and although it's not as intense as a CrossFit, just the level of intensity that goes into it, and the fact that I have someone there who's not allowing a routine. Every instructor's got a different class, and you're always changing things up. I think for me, you know, where it's John's kind of outlet, almost creatively as well as a stress reliever. For me, I need to shut off. So when I was trying to create my own workout programs and having to think about sets and reps and this and that and what I'm going to do, it was just I was so mentally exhausted. So to have a 1 hour class that I know somebody's going to kick it out of me, it's really been a help. I started probably about 2 weeks ago, and I feel absolutely great about it.
So that's a secret for the, because everybody's different.
Yeah.
You to go in and have someone just do it for you, as it were, like the organization.
I got to do the work, but, you know, somebody says drop them push-ups, you know, hooks, jabs, cross. You know, you've got somebody there who's keeping their intensity up, and having the other people around that are fighting through the same pain you are, you know, it's this kind of, collective strength almost. And then
awesome.
When we are on the road, you know, I try my best to keep up with John, and he kicks the shit out of me just the same.
Nice. Nice. How now for kickboxing? When do the leg warmers come in?
Oh, immediately. You get those on day one.
Oh, you get them.
Yes.
Oh.
Wired wardrobe.
The best part of this whole thing for me right now is that there were 0 seconds between my question. And
my he loves it. He loves putting them on.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I don't want to get too personal or anything with a couple of guys, but, you know, you put your leg warmers on, it feels nice. You want to take a bath, you know, put on some candles.
Bro,
just
I
saying.
Miss how weird you are.
Rebecca. Yeah, well, you know, you were saying before, some people get drunk, some people eat. I'm drinking now while we
Perfect.
Do this.
I'm going to have my third cup of coffee, too.
Oh my God. Do you guys, and I might be spilling it down my face, do the afternoon coffee?
I'm a three cupper.
Anthony will do three.
Yeah, I do early morning, I do like 11, and then I do my post lunch, which is usually around 2, and then I'm done.
Right. We do a couple in the morning, me and Teresa, who couldn't be here. She says hello.
Mm-hmm. I think she's still upset about her motorcycle talk, but whatever.
She might be, but wheelie popping is very important. Even though I can't, you know, pop the actual wheelie, I can talk about it.
You're talking about something else, or are we talking about motorcycling?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't know.
You talked. You went leg warmers. I had to get you back.
You know what color? Never. No, I can't. No, that's it. That's it. The FCC just called. You can't even do that on the internet. You need a special .com license to talk about that. And I won't tweet that you're sending photos of you guys in leg warmers. I'm not saying that. Yeah, I will not say that in public at all right now. But something you said earlier, John, about the stress and all that made me start thinking about America's Most Desperate Kitchens and all these different shows that you guys do and projects that you work on. One of the main currents of them, besides design and new kitchens and new lives, is stress for people who've never had a television crew jammed in their house.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you have, I don't know, I want to say 20 to 30 people running around your house for a couple of days all over the place. It's a high stress level environment. And anybody just having people in your home like that, you're going to get stressed out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Are there stories, without making fun of anybody, because it is stressful, where you have just had to talk them down off the ceiling fan and say, hey, look, it's going
to
be okay.
We tell that to everybody. I don't even think it's one. That is every single couple or homeowner, you know, individual that we talk to. Because we tell them, look, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of commotion. Anything I'm ever used to it. Because it's so high intensity. It's so much going on. You're going at 120 miles an hour. You don't have time to sit around and debate and think. You have to be just go. You have to know, I'm confident, I got to make this decision and go. We try to let them know, look, that's why the two of us are here. That's why Anthony and I are here coaching and putting this whole project together for you, because we're going to get it done the right way. And we don't want them to have the stress level, to calm down, and let us do what we know how to do.
You guys rock. John Culinary. Hashtag AMDK. Did I get that right? America's Most. It's like when people ask you the last four digits of your social security number. You have to say the whole goddamn thing. One, two, three, four. Yeah, got it. Yeah. AMDK.
America's Most Desperate Kitchens. Got it.
Got it. Follow these guys. They're hilarious. They're the real deal. Many, many great successes with the shows, with the fitness, with the building, with the design. Lifers, we're so glad you could be here. Hang out. We'll be back in a sec.
Take your inspiration into real life with Sherline Paint Products. From easy pour-in-store paint can lids to tools that help give you a perfect line. For more information, check out Sherline.com.
Hey, we're back, my Fix It Up Lifers, and we're talking to Norm, whose name I'll probably get wrong. Norm Coach.
I say Cook.
You say Cook. All right. It's not how it's spelled, Norm, so we're going to have to end the interview early.
No, we don't. Hi, Norm. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I am enjoying a little time with my husband. I always say that when we get to do our show, it's like a little mini date, because we get to spend time together. We don't have to do anything else. And we know that we don't have to tell anyone to put their pants on or clean up any throw up.
You're talking about children here, Norm.
Oh, yeah, children.
Not Spartan Race, which is where you make your living and your life and are literally wearing a hat that says F.
What does it say? Oh, that's something. So you spend your time. Do you get to still spend your time thinking and dreaming about what possibly you could create as an obstacle for people? Or are you more executing it?
More executing, but at home I try to make obstacles, but with the sheer number of participants, it's hard to build new ones.
I bet you have a list somewhere, like a dream list. Like, ooh, you know what? We could do this or we could do that.
Yeah, I have a sketchbook with different ideas.
I bet that sketchbook is probably worth a lot of money, too.
How does it resonate with you with the love-hate relationship that people really just legitimately despise you while they pay you money to torture them in their race? How does that whole dichotomy play out for you?
It's pretty funny. It's like being married, I guess.
So what you do, you walk around like the different Spartan, do you have time to be there on race day and see the people going through the courses and going through all the different obstacles?
I try to go around, check out the obstacles, visit places where I know that are difficult or people are going to be cursing me, I guess. And then I make a point to talk to everyone, and a lot of people want pictures and say hi, and it's fun.
Do you steer really, really, really clear of the spear throw area?
No, I like to go there and heckle. It's like I'm like a carny. I can hit it every time, double the distance, doesn't matter. So I'll just go there and harass the elites or anyone. I don't know why it's so hard.
That is awesome.
What's your secret?
I was a javelin coach in javelin high school.
Oh.
It is such a head game, isn't it?
It is. My wife is an elite athlete, and we have an experiment at home and practicing. I get a little frustrated trying to show her how, but it's come along pretty well. She gets it a lot now.
Sweet. Sweet. So what would you say, totally informal poll, how many people hit it versus how many people are ripping out burpees after they see that thing?
I bet 60% fail.
Yeah?
Easily.
So you're a javelin thrower, so you've been through the whole thing. Is there one thing that you would recommend to somebody? Keep your eye on the target, square your shoulders, some weird little biomechanic tip that some people might be struggling with?
Yeah, what it is, most people are used to throwing a baseball or a ball, and they cock their wrists a little bit, and that makes the javelin go off the spear, shift a little bit.
Yeah.
So you have to keep it in a plane, a straight plane, like throwing a dart.
Oh, interesting.
So if you cock that wrist at all, it veers off and hits the hay and falls.
It's true. I've seen that happen.
Okay, so
not that I have a couple sheets of half-inch plywood leaned up against a fence on my yard, and you know they're gonna call the code enforcement.
And he's got
soon.
A spear he fashioned too. It's something else. I've seen Mark grow in his love for the Spartan race over the last year, and it's blossomed into this giant romance where he dedicates, you know, a couple hours a day thinking about it, planning it, figuring out what race, training, running around the neighborhood with a bucket of rocks, all that stuff that Spartan people do. But two things. One, you have a Twitter handle, no tweets. What's the deal? And two, what the heck is a winter death race?
Oh, the death race just finished up after 5 years. Maybe seven, whatever. But there's a winter and summer. And it's the winter usually lasts about sleep. The summer death. Something happened.
Yeah, something happened. I was asking about the winter death race, and you started to answer, and you froze, and I think it might be because of the winter death race froze you. It's like Jack Frost came and did his like thing on you. No, don't tell her the secrets.
So Spartan came from the death race, and there's a winter and a summer. So it's at Joe's house, and I did one in 2012. I got second. I was first for most of it, and then I got I made some few mistakes and got second. First loser.
Yeah, good. You're not tough on yourself or anything, are you?
So Spartan was born out of a death race.
Yes.
All right.
So the death race was you show up, you do a bunch of chores. A lot of these athletes that show up were pretty boys, and that kind of broke them. And then you go for no sleep, food, just sleep deprivation, and hard labor. And it's like an adventure race. It messes with your mind.
It
makes you reach down and find your true grit and overcome, like, just throwing stuff at you. One guy's carrying a little stick, you're carrying a big log. You're like, that's not fair. And guess what? Life's not fair. So people get wrapped up in that and quit.
I'm fascinated with you and Joe's sort of bigger picture of what Spartan Race and obstacle course racing can do for people in their larger life, parenthood, relationships, that kind of thing. And you just talked about it, but I want to dive in there a little deeper. You know, did you really go and were you able to find a new level of gumption or desire or grit, like you pointed out? And does that come back to you in your regular life, which is not very regular, by the way?
I think a lot of people do. I've always been that way, so I kind of just met some death racers and kind of got adopted into it. And it was just a natural. But I just meshed really well with Joe and his philosophy.
That's really cool.
So I have to ask, because you are a guy who creates these obstacles and you're a builder of sorts, an artist of sorts. You have this whole mojo about you. Now, and you've worked for some high profile people before. Like I saw like NASCAR and PlayStation and stuff like that in your background. When you're seeing like these obstacles that you're creating on NBC Sports, are you like, what? Or are you like, yeah, it's my work. It's cool.
It's my work. It's cool, but I'm always trying to figure out how to get the elites to fail. Because if they don't fail, they keep winning. But where's the fun in that?
True.
you always show up and get through the course without failing. You're gonna get bored.
Yeah.
I gotta challenge them and make sure they keep coming back.
So Norm.
So like
Cook.
The one where the guy got, I saw on NBC Sports this past for the Vermont race, the World Championship, where they profiled a guy and he was some incredible. Whatever, and he got hypothermia or something the year before. So like you're like high-fiving yourself when stuff like that happens secretly, because you're like, yes, I broke him.
That's the biggest smile yet out of you.
Yeah,
you're glowing.
I'm very happy with that.
Oh my god,
you truly are a complete sadist. There's no way around it.
I love you in a way that's magical. So I think we do have to go. So follow. I want everybody to go on his Twitter handle and like bombard you, because you don't have any tweets at @Norm_KOCH Spartan Race. It's cool. Check it out. It's a lifestyle. It'll make you fit and blow your mind.
Find your gumption, lifers. We're out. We'll be back. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. We are so psyched that you spend some of your time that we value with us, with our podcast, with our videos, with this YouTube channel. Please subscribe to it here. If you're new to it, share it with your friends. That's how we grow. That's how we can keep this and our cool guests like Norm Cook and John Culinary and Anthony Carino, surprise entry, coming to you. Email us info@myfixituplife.com. Whack something up on Facebook, tweet us, follow us on Instagram. We love you, we thank you, and we appreciate you, lifers. We're out. We'll see you next time.
You might be just a pretty face looking back at me. You might be an idle conversation piece. Might be another wasted memory, but I'd like to wait and see. first date on a city street. It might be a kiss that brings me to my knees. It might be initials carved into a tree and I.